Is it harder for you to get into this after last weekend with the Bears?
Yes and no. It's almost easier because I'm just focused on the other games and there's not just this creeping sense of dread about my team possibly losing.
Yeah.
So that part is very nice, but am I still kind of broken inside? And is it hard to muster much enthusiasm for anything? Yeah, that's also true.
Sorry.
It's actually an underrated thing with pro sports is when you root for a bad team, there's some upside. It doesn't hurt all the time because the dread isn't there.
Mm,
no?
Okay.
I've been out the last 3 or 4 years as a Bears fan, so I've seen both sides of the coin recently, and I don't know. I liked this version much better because at least it came with 17 weeks of enjoying watching my team.
They were so good,
though. Yeah, they were, and I actually liked them to go to the Super Bowl. I thought that they had the formula, and I really don't want to do this too much, and I don't mean to make this let's all pour one out for the Bears or your feelings, but it's weird because I feel like I know you more than I do because I listen to the podcast, and yeah, you were very enthusiastic about the Bears all season, and you could tell that there was a real jump in your step about the team and an enthusiasm, and it was fun. It was exciting to track, and then to see them lose to a team that way, where you go out in that fashion, and you're clearly, to me anyways, the superior team is it's frustrating to be a sports fan. Let's just put it that way. It makes it tough to do your job sometimes.
It certainly is. But I mean, it's.
Do you believe, though, that it's more authentic today to be, in media and a writer and openly own the team you like? I just don't believe if someone says they're, they just don't care who wins. They're just a writer. I don't believe that. Do you believe it's a good thing these days to be a fan of a team and in media?
No, not necessarily. I think it definitely has its drawbacks. You know, if it were up to me, I think that it would be much easier if I covered a sport where I didn't have a team that I rooted for this hard. And the Bears are my favorite team in sports. So, I mean, if I covered the NBA, it'd be much easier because I think my Bulls fandom would kind of deteriorate at a quicker pace than my Bears fandom would have. And I think it comes definitely with some treacherous territory. So I believe people. I mean, I work with Kevin Clark, and he has no NFL team. He comes from Orlando. He grew up watching teams in Florida, but he's not loyal to any of them. I think that in a lot of ways, it kind of clears the path to do your job if you're covering that sport. So I believe people when they say it. I don't think it makes my opinions any more valid, and I definitely think that it comes with complications.
So there are complications, but there are also plus sides, which is that people feel more invested in you because they feel like there is a connection that you have, that there's something that they can relate to, that your football acumen is not matched by the average football fan. They come to you because you see the game in a different way, and it is like we had Jeff Schwartz on the other day, and he was talking about how most people outside of football that don't have a career in it don't have a great appreciation or think they know more than they do. And he immediately referenced you as being one of those people that is not that guy. He said, well, some people haven't played and they are brilliant and I love reading them. And then he just immediately said your name first of all. But then after that is there's a passion that comes from it, which is fueled by fandom in a lot of cases. So yeah, I agree with you. It's just that there are also plus sides to all of this. Before we get into the playoffs or some of these matchups, I wanted to run a quick thought by you, which was the Colts, they threw a different looking defense. It was highlighted by Dan Orlovsky on Twitter over the week, where they were basically making they were making the Texans think that it was man coverage when really they were throwing a zone. And one of the plays that he highlighted was actually the interception at midfield. And the Chargers threw that 7 DB look at the Ravens, and it was just a different defense than we're accustomed to seeing, and it was very effective. And I wonder that in this era of everyone needs to be super creative on the offensive side of the ball, and everyone needs to go out and acquire an offensive coach and needs to have the next Sean McVay, that maybe we're underappreciating or underestimating the strides defenses can make in the NFL.
I think we are. I think we're underestimating the battle the defenses can put up. I think absolutely on a week-to-week basis with really good defensive coaches that they can slow down these offenses. I mean, I watched the Bears all season, and I think it is about not being predictable. It's about not giving cues. It's about adapting to your opponent in the way the Chargers did, not only with the DBs, but with the way their defensive line played. I mean, really letting three guys up on the interior, shooting gaps, not allowing pullers to just go down the line of scrimmage while you follow them, but instead trying to get penetration. They were just coached to a T. And that's what you're seeing with the Colts. I think that's an amazing game plan. They knew exactly what kind of stuff they would do that could bother Watson. I think the Ravens were a defense like that all year. It's just about mixing up coverages. It's about playing, you know, cover six where you're playing cover two on one side and four on the other, and maybe your man is your corner to the field side is playing man. It's, you don't have to line up in these simple Tampa 2 coverages and just let teams destroy you. You have a chance if you're willing to be creative and willing to do some different things, and I just don't know if we have as many defensive coordinators in the league doing that as we should.
Well, do you think we're going to see that maybe in that Colts game this weekend, that with both those offenses, the way that they're clicking and the way that the Colts especially have been going on third down and all the challenges that Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, that they present the Colts, that it's going to come down to who can have a few turnovers or who can be a little bit more creative defensively?
I think that's more necessary on the Colts side. I think if the game just goes where both offenses are playing to their strengths, the Chiefs score more points. I know that seems simple, but the Chiefs don't need a turnover to win. You know, if the Colts manage to get one or two, that's going to keep them in the game. I just feel like the Chiefs' offense is so, so good that they don't necessarily need breaks on the other side of the ball when they're the better team. And against the Colts, they absolutely are. So for me, it's more about the Colts generating those plays and the Chiefs just trying to avoid them.
I'm really excited about the Colts. A lot of us are. We've spent a lot of the week discussing the idea of their big salary, their open salary cap picture next year, weighing into a little bit of the way we're perceiving them right now. But yeah, it does feel a little bit, I have more of a sense that when we get to this game and if the Chiefs are rolling, that we're all going to kind of step back and say, oh, right, that was the best team in football for the vast majority of the season and they're home. And this is going to play out that way. So you were with the Cowboys this week. You wrote an excellent piece on the Rams and only needing, the title of it is the Rams only need one personnel grouping to destroy you. And it's a really interesting article that's up on the Ringer. I highly recommend it to any of our listeners. But one thing did stick out to me when I was reading this, or a thought that I had, which was, considering the predictability of McVay's personnel, shouldn't we have seen the cup injury as having more of an impact?
Maybe, but not necessarily. I think that some people thought that Robert Woods could kind of step in and fill Cooper Kupp's role while Josh Reynolds came in and filled his. And they flipped those guys, which I think is something people have overlooked. It's not that they lost Cooper Kupp. It's that they had Robert Woods kind of step in for Cooper Kupp, and it downgraded them a little bit at two positions. But for me, I think it's more so how people are reacting to a lot of the window dressing and a lot of the secondary elements of what that offense is. You know, the Bears more or less just said, we're going to play base. We're not going to let you run the ball on us, because that's what the Rams try to do. They want you to line up in nickel because they want to be able to just gash you over and over again with Gurley. They finished the season number one in rushing DVOA. And even when Gurley was hurt, they were able to crush teams with CJ Anderson. So that's what they're after. And if you can somehow play without doing that and still defend those three receivers, that's the perfect formula. The problem is most teams can't. The other side of it is, I think you saw it really in the Detroit game and over the next couple games after that, when they're using that jet motion, when they're doing all those kind of weird, wonky things to distract you from the things they actually want to do, some teams just started ignoring it. I mean, the Lions just said, cool, we're not going to follow that guy. We're not going to let you do this to us because we know that's not what you really want to do. So I think it's more just about having discipline in your own approach than it is about any downgrades in what the Rams' personnel has been over the course of the year.
Well, that would lead me, based on your answer, believe that you would be really optimistic about the Cowboys' chances.
I think I'm optimistic about the Cowboys' chances. I think that's going to be a closer game than the spread indicates. I think that Dallas' defense gives them a chance, and I think that they have matchup advantages on the other side of the ball. The Rams do not stop the run very well. It's not what Wade Phillips' teams have been set up to do, and it's not what this team is set up to do. If Dallas leans on Elliott, really has that be the basis of who they are, and if that offensive line, which has played better as of late, and getting healthier, everything else, if they can slow down Donald, then I do think that the Rams' secondary is still susceptible to giving up some decently big plays. So I think that there are moments and there are areas where the Cowboys can take advantage, but I still think the Rams are just so, so talented overall that even though I think this game's going to be closer than some others do, I do think the Rams are still going to win.
Yeah, I can just see the game script, though, falling for the Cowboys in this one. Not that I think they're going to win either. Yeah. I believe you. It's just that, or not that I believe you, of course, but I agree with you is what I should have said. But I look at this kind of thinking, well, the way that those linebackers play and that Cowboys front seven, if they are able to slow Todd Gurley down and force it all to be on Jared Goff's shoulders, we've kind of seen what that template is over the last couple of weeks with the slump that Goff has been in. And yes, they have a lot of talent, and yes, I believe in Sean McVay and getting that extra week to game plan for this, or figure out what was going on with that offense, or get maybe a little bit more creative, or figure out some of what the flaws can be against a team that I don't think has nearly an equal play caller on the offensive side. But I look at this and say, everyone has put this on, hey, there's been this weird straw man. We were talking about it yesterday about how this is an important game for Sean McVay. And I don't believe that, because every coach that has been hired so far outside of Denver has been in the mold of trying to chase what the Rams have in Sean McVay, that the league is still following that. There's really no pressure on him. You could build a narrative off that he's not he's not as great as people have made him out to be, or all these things. But ultimately, McVay is safe, and everyone accepts that he is a really good coordinator. I do feel, though, however, that maybe this is an important game for Jared Goff, and that if you do have a coordinator like that, and there is going to be a decision at some point to give this guy a ton of money, if he goes out there and is terrible in this game and then kind of gets out to a similar start next season, I feel like we're going to start having the conversation of what Jared Goff is and what his future might be.
I think if you had to make me bet on which of those two guys will be employed by the Rams in 2021, I would put my money on Sean McVay.
Oh, yeah.
I think the answer is probably both of them. But I do believe that the next couple seasons, and maybe starting with this game, sorry, my dog is biting my foot. Leave me alone. I do think that the next two games, this game and the games moving forward, probably over the first half of next season and beyond, is way more important for Jared Goff, because I agree. I think that we've seen where his limitations start to pop up. And when the Rams line up in shotgun, I'm more or less just chalk it up as a win for the defense. Because when they can't use that under center play action game and create the easy throws they want out of it, they start to look really mortal. And whether that you think that's a shortcoming of Sean McVay or Jared Goff, I don't know. But that's just what we've seen over the last month or so. And that's why I think the Cowboys really do present a challenge, because their athleticism at linebacker, their ability to kind of react to those run fakes if they bite a little bit and recover just because they're so fast and explosive, I think they can just make up for more ground than other teams have. And I think it presents an interesting challenge. I'd be really curious to see how the Rams actually go about this, because I think there are some misdirection screens, stuff like that. I just don't think you can let those guys sit in the middle of the field, even if it does involve a play fake.
So last one, this Saints matchup against the Eagles. It was last time these two teams played each other, it was an absolute blowout, and it really exposed how awful the Eagles were in the secondary. And they just could, and it was a big game for them, and they were not able to do anything. I'm having a tough time understanding as to why, other than Nick Foles' magic, we should be believing that this time around will be any different.
I think that the secondary has gotten better. You know, Maddox has definitely played better than he did when he first kind of was inserted into the lineup. But he still isn't a good corner on every play. And the Bears really took advantage of him on double moves. And I feel like the Saints watched that game and watched what the Eagles have been over the last month or so and say, we can take advantage of this. Now, he's better than he was. They're more sound than they were. But we still have ways that we can pick on these guys. And that's why I just feel like the Saints are going to win, because there's just too many avenues for them to attack a defense that isn't sound all the way across. And that's what you're looking at with Philadelphia. I mean, they didn't stop the run this year. They've been really poor on runs to the perimeter, which is where Ingram has done a huge amount of his damage. They've given up the second most receptions to running backs in the league after Atlanta. And what do the Saints love to do? They love to throw the ball to Alvin Kamara. So it just feels like no matter how the Saints have to do this, they'll find a way to do it. And that's why I think they're going to win pretty convincingly.
Yeah, I'm with you. Robert, always love your work, man. It was great that you made time for us today. We really do appreciate it, pal.
No worries, guys. Anytime. I'll talk to you later.